Telkom's reported better than expected full year earnings. That for the full year to the end of March, it's up 22.6%, thanks in large part to its mobile division. And CEO Sipho Maseko joins me now to get into the detail behind some of the numbers reported today. Sipho, thanks so much for joining us. And I guess that's the place to start, right? Your mobile division. We've seen service revenue up 58% on the back of an 86% growth in active subscribers. You've beat analysts' and investors' expectations. Have you surpassed your own?
Yeah, no, the team has done well. I mean, the team has done very, very well. And it's a function of a couple of things. Firstly, I think we've made the right bet in data. From the very onset, our view was that the voice game is done. So the network construction, the product design, all of them were biased towards data. And we're seeing the customers rewarding us by adopting a lot of our products and value propositions. And that has been also informed by how we have expanded our distribution footprint. In the past, we had a lot less distributors. Now we have a lot more looking to distribute Telkom products and services. So that's a plus. Thirdly, we've also agreed a roaming agreement with one of our peers. And that roaming agreement gives us a national footprint, and we're starting to see customers who previously would not have had access to our network and products and services also beginning to have that. So the team has done well. We are pleased with this, and we're continuing to look for growth wherever we can find it.
Does that make your aggressive pricing strategy on the data front a lot more sustainable? Because some are questioning just how sustainable this rate of growth is moving forward. The assumption is that pricing is side, there's also somewhat of a low base effect to take into consideration.
So we're doing two things. Firstly, we're ensuring that as a company, we are as cost efficient as we can. And that is why when you look at our numbers, our costs, actually our OPEX, went down by about 1.4%. So we take costs out because customers effectively are saying they don't want to pay more. And we are therefore able to absorb some of these costs. Number two, our EBIT, our margins have been improving. Last year they were about 8%, now they're about 11%. So we're starting to see that profitability come through. Obviously, we still have quite a lot of setup costs as we're setting up a new business. And we don't have the legacy 2G voice that would have ordinarily be funding that sort of growth. So the customers that we are seeing through, and we've actually not brought prices down. Actually, what we have done is that we have configured our products differently. Effectively, we don't charge for voice. We charge only for data, and voice is free on our value proposition. And we have therefore are able to address what is an evolving customer trend, where customers are looking for a lot less voice, but are looking for a lot more data. So to have product plans that have, you know, 1,000 voice minutes, that doesn't help the customer because the customer is looking for more gigs than voice minutes.
So that segues then nicely into the voice component of your business, because voice under pressure, down 15%, revenue in the fixed business, yes, down 8% as well. So talk us through what exactly is now happening in that side of the business where your core fixed line operation is under pressure.
No, indeed. And that is more than the function of the legacy technology. Remember that Telkom is at least about 100 years old. We have been able to reap the rewards of the copper business over the last 30, 40 years. And we are at a point now where there is a migration away from copper to what we call new generation technology. Mm-hmm. So that is either fiber or LTE. And if you look at how our subscribers and our customers are growing either on the fiber side or on the LTE side, it is more than compensating for what we are seeing as a decline on the fixed voice side. I mean, you know, in homes and in businesses, people are using their voice line a lot less than they used to do before. That previously used to be a very, very high margin product for us. And as either people are disconnecting or are using it a lot less, you'll obviously generate a lot less revenue. But rest assured, we have the right plans and strategy in place to ensure that we are the ones that migrate our customers to the newer value propositions, even if the price point is lower, but we are able to retain the customer and offer them a different value proposition.
Okay, so you've got customers opting then to sign up for the alternative. Yes. As far as your OpenServe, your wholesale services business, is concerned, are you you're seeing margin expansion there. How much of a threat are migrations to next generation technology and lower price points on that front?
Well, I mean, it's exactly the same. In fact, actually, our OpenServe business has been investing a lot in modernizing the network and making sure that we commercialize the network. So amongst other things, what they've done is that they've made sure that we invest in the right technology in what you'd call the long distance network. So, you know, the cables that take our data from here to Cape Town or Durban or to New York, all of that is being modernized so that we can carry a lot more data traffic, a lot more video traffic. At the same time, they are decommissioning the old legacy. So we probably slowed down the decommissioning of the legacy business there, and that's why you're seeing much higher margins. But as we are moving away from legacy to new, the margins will obviously come down, but the volumes will more than compensate for that margin pressure.
So those are the plans. What kind of capital commitment do you have to make to back this all up, and specifically focusing on the year ahead as far as your network build is concerned?
Yeah, so our capital guidance is between 16 to 20% of revenue. We are slap bang in the middle of that guidance. We will remain within that guidance framework over the next year. What are we focusing on? We're focusing on making sure that our base stations use fiber as backhaul. We're focusing on putting fiber into business premises, and the last one is fiber to the home. Fiber to the business and fiber to the base station is a lot more profitable for us, and actually that's the future, and that's what underpins our growth in mobile. We are able to carry a lot more data traffic. Not only do we have a 4G network on the access line, but also we're using 4G backhaul to be able to carry quite a lot of this traffic anywhere you want to take it.
As you alluded to right at the top, you know, you are leveraging off competitor infrastructure. You've been using MTN's network. You're shifting over very shortly to Vodacom to augment your own.
Yes.
Does that then start taking more of a backseat as you progress?
Well, I mean, and we're managing both. On the one hand, what we do is that we use the infrastructure of our new roaming partner. But as that traffic grows, and we see that it actually costs us a lot more to roam there, we then put our own infrastructure. So you take what would effectively be a variable cost that continues to increase when the traffic goes up, and you fix that with your own infrastructure. And I think we've been able to manage that those two dimensions in a very, very sensible way.
How aggressive you are on that front, is it contingent on the extent to which, or the pace at which you can unbundle the group's property portfolio?
Well, I mean, the group's property portfolio is, it gives us the right level of flexibility. So if spectrum gets released, we might look at divesting of a portion of it, if the method of release will be auction, because then we'll be able to have the cash to be able to participate. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if and when we need a lot more cash, this asset portfolio, especially the non-core, we can raise a bit of cash out of it. As the technology gets smaller and smaller and smaller, you're finding yourself that you're needing a lot less of these big buildings that we used to have. Mm-hmm. So overall, I think the overall strategy of the firm is really, really in place. And the way we've organized it, we have the right level of transparency of performance in terms of who contributes what to the value creation in the company.
Is there any merit behind rumorings that government may sell its shares in the company to raise money of its own?
No, I mean, so shareholders come in and out as and when they want to. We haven't heard the latest view in terms of what they would want to do, but the last recorded position we have was that they're not going to sell their shares. But if and when they do, what we had always asked for is that they need to do it in a very orderly way. They're a big shareholder, so therefore their behavior is interpreted in one way or another by the market. But as far as I know, up until now, I haven't received any indication that they would want to sell their shares. I think we've created a lot more value for them in the last couple of years.
Sipho, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Of course, Sipho Maseko is CEO of Telkom.